Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Deep Dive, the show that takes your most crucial source material and extracts the absolute gold nuggets of insight. I'm Lita Stano, your guide for this journey, and I'm genuinely eager to dig into a topic today that, well, it affects everything from national security to how quickly, say, your local government responds to a records request.
And I'm Taylor Popp, here to help connect the dots, offer some broader context, and, you know, hopefully spark a few aha moments as we explore this fascinating material together.
Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into a topic that's not just important, but absolutely critical for pretty much every public sector agency across the U.S. We're talking federal departments, state organizations, even the integrators who support them.
Right.
Our mission, if you will, is to unpack a comprehensive understanding of why public sector agencies should adopt Archive 360 to accelerate speed to mission. We're going to lay out a granular report on exactly why these agencies need modern data solutions, you know, to meet their initiatives, their mandates, their mission requirements.
Yeah, and also which agencies, which programs, even which key decision makers the Archive 360 sales team should maybe prioritize in their outreach. Yeah. It's all about being really well informed.
Exactly. Informed on a topic that has real world implications. Okay, let's unpack this. So to kick us off, we really need to understand the challenging landscape these public sector agencies are operating in. It's truly a complex environment.
It really is.
We're calling it the public sector's data conundrum, a crisis of legacy, sprawl, and scrutiny. Let's start with what feels like, well, an eternal headache for government agencies everywhere, the crushing burden of legacy IT.
You've absolutely hit the nail on the head there. When we talk about legacy IT in the public sector, we're not just discussing systems that are, you know, maybe a few years behind.
Right.
We're delving into deep-seated, often decades-old infrastructure that's frankly creating a systemic crisis. Think about this.
Yeah.
The U.S. federal government annually allocates over $100 billion to IT and cybersecurity.
Okay, $100 billion. That sounds substantial. Sounds like a lot of money to play with.
It does, doesn't it? But here's the catch.
Ah, I suspected there might be one.
There absolutely is.
Yeah.
A staggering 80%, 80 of that massive $100 billion budget isn't actually going towards innovation or building new capabilities or even, you know, enhancing citizen services.
80%. So where does it go?
It's consumed purely by the operations and maintenance, the O&M, of these existing, often ancient systems.
So hold on, 80% of $100 billion, that's what, $80 billion every single year?
Yeah.
Just to keep outdated systems barely functional, that's, wow. It's like pouring endless money into a leaky bucket, isn't it? Instead of investing in, like, fresh water for the future.
It's precisely that. It's not just a budget drain. It's a systemic blocker to real progress. It's stopping them from doing new things.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And it gets even more alarming when you realize just how old some of these critical systems actually are. We're talking about infrastructure that's over 50 years old.
50? Seriously?
50 years old, still humming along, or maybe more accurately, creaking along on programming languages like COBOL and Fortran.
Wow. Languages I barely even remember from, like computing history class.
Exactly. And many are dependent on hardware that's long past its official support date, which is, you know, a massive red flag in terms of both performance and security.
I bet.
This technological obsolescence isn't just inefficient. It creates severe, often unpatchable security vulnerabilities. The Government Accountability Office, the GAO, they did a review.
Okay.
And found that 7 out of 11 critical legacy systems they looked at had known cybersecurity vulnerabilities.
7 out of 11. That's not a minor issue then. That's a gaping hole, potentially, in national security.
It's a huge hole, leaving agencies really exposed.
And it's not just the technology itself that's old, right? It's the people, too. Like, who's left to even manage these 50-year-old systems? Sounds like a dying art form.
It absolutely is. The workforce capable of maintaining these, well, arcane systems is shrinking rapidly. As experts with decades of experience retire, critical knowledge gaps emerge.
Yeah.
And that just compounds the risk further. This often leads to a state we sometimes call strategic paralysis.
Strategic paralysis, meaning?
Meaning agencies frequently lack complete and, importantly, documented modernization plans, primarily because these poorly documented legacy systems have all these intricate, often unknown dependencies.
Ah, so they're afraid if they touch one thing, something else completely unexpected might break.
Precisely. The perceived risk of a failed migration or a system crash often outweighs the known, but perhaps more comfortable, risk of just keeping things running as they are.
It's a vicious cycle then. Inaction feels safer than trying something new, even if the current situation is bad.
Exactly. A vicious cycle of inaction.
So they're stuck between a rock and a very old, very hard place. But this paralysis, as frustrating as it sounds, it also creates a compelling market need, doesn't it, for solutions that can actually de-risk modernization.
Indeed it does. And this is really where a solution like Archive 360 comes into play. Its application decommissioning capabilities directly address this paralysis.
How so?
Well, it offers a financially attractive solution. It provides a clear, secure path to retiring these costly, insecure systems. We saw an example. A Department of Justice agency forecasted over $135 million in savings.
Wow, $135 million.
Yeah, simply by using Archive 360 to retire just 12 legacy applications. 12.
That's not small change. That's a massive reallocation of resources.
It really is. Money that can then be directed towards actual mission-critical modernization initiatives rather than just, you know, keeping the lights on for these old dinosaurs. It's like clearing out decades of old junk from the attic to make room for, I don't know, a modern home office.
Makes sense. Okay, so that's the crushing weight of legacy IT, a problem that seems almost insurmountable for some agencies. But it's not the only challenge, is it? We're also seeing this unstoppable force of new data. Let's talk about the uncontainable proliferation of unstructured data. How are agencies even beginning to grapple with that tsunami?
It's truly a tidal wave. It's a seismic shift in the data landscape.
Yeah.
We've seen an explosion in the volume and, critically, the variety of digital data coming from modern collaboration platforms.
Like Teams and Slack and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Think about your daily interactions maybe with Microsoft Teams, Slack, or even just the continued dominance of email.
Mm.
Then you add social media, mobile messaging, things that are increasingly becoming official communication channels for government employees.
Right.
This isn't just more data. It's what some call a proliferation of record creation on an unprecedented scale. Mm. And this data is, well, the sources say, infinitely more complex to manage than traditional structured documents like, say, a Word doc or a PDF.
I can only imagine the nightmare. Trying to manage conversations filled with threaded replies, shared files, edits, deletions, even emojis and GIFs, knowing that all of it might constitute an official record that needs to be preserved and maybe produced later for FOIA or something, it sounds like trying to capture smoke.
It truly is a management nightmare. This unstructured dynamic data, with all its nuances, the edits, the deletions, it must be captured with full context to be legally defensible.
Full context is key, then.
Absolutely. Imagine trying to explain a decision made over a quick Slack exchange if you only have, like, half the conversation record.
Wouldn't hold up well.
Probably not.
What?
And the big problem is, this data is often scattered across disparate, siloed systems. One system for email, another for Teams, maybe something else for file shares.
Right.
Yeah. That makes centralized capture, retention, and discovery incredibly challenging, if not downright impossible, with traditional tools.
So are the agencies keeping up, or are they falling behind?
Well, the National Archives and Records Administration, NRA, they highlighted this struggle in their own 2023 report. They found that agencies are actually losing ground on managing even email.
Even email, that seems like it should be straightforward by now.
You'd think so, but the risk associated with email management actually increased from 6% in 2022 to 10% in 2023, according to NARA.
Wow. So if they're struggling with email, you can only imagine how unprepared they are for the really complex stuff like Teams and Slack data.
Exactly. It suggests even less preparedness. It's a widening gap between the data being created and the ability to actually govern it effectively.
So it's clear that, you know, manual approaches and legacy technology just aren't cutting it anymore. This gap represents a significant unmanaged risk that's only growing.
Absolutely. And that's where Archive 360 steps in directly. It offers native support for over 280 data types.
280. Okay.
And critically, it has specific purpose-built connectors for Microsoft Teams, Slack, Zoom, and other modern platforms. This means it's designed from the ground up to handle this new complex data landscape.
So it ensures agencies can compliantly capture, manage, and govern all their communications no matter where they happen.
That's the goal. Ensuring they can capture it all, with context, no matter the source. It's like having a universal translator and, I don't know, a super librarian for all your digital conversations.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, beyond the sheer volume and complexity of data, agencies are also under the relentless pressure of FOIA, e-discovery, and regulatory demands. This sounds like a constant uphill battle with a lot at stake.
It is an absolutely relentless battle, the Volume of Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, requests.
Yeah, we hear about those backlogs.
Exactly. And e-discovery demands in litigation, plus various regulatory inquiries, it's all steadily rising. This creates intense pressure on agencies that are already constrained by budgets, staffing, and, as we just discussed, that antiquated technology.
So the process of fulfilling these requests must be painful.
It's often excruciatingly slow, very manual, and incredibly expensive. This leads to massive backlogs, frequently missed deadlines, and increased risk.
And I imagine that fragmented data we talked about earlier, data scattered everywhere, is a huge part of this problem, right? If everything is siloed, how do you even begin to find what you need?
It's the root cause. The fragmented, siloed nature of government data scattered across countless legacy systems, active email servers, various cloud apps, even individual hard drives sometimes.
Yeah.
It forces staff into these time-consuming, often incomplete manual searches across multiple repositories. You have to look here, then there, then over there.
Sounds exhausting.
It is. And it not only drives up costs, but introduces a significant risk of providing incomplete or inaccurate information. And in the public sector, that's a huge problem. It can lead to severe legal sanctions, fines, and perhaps most damagingly, a profound erosion of public trust.
Right. If the government can't even find its own records, how can the public trust it?
Exactly. And the complexity of the requests themselves must add to the burden, too. We're not just talking about simple text documents anymore, are we?
No, definitely not. Requests can involve a huge variety of data types. Emails with hundreds of attachments, those threaded conversations from Teams or Slack we mentioned.
Right, the whole conversation, not just bits.
Yes. And on top of just finding the stuff, agencies have to meticulously redact sensitive information, personally identifiable information, PII, classified material, maybe data protected under statutes like IPAE.
That redaction process alone can be incredibly time-consuming with old tools.
It's a delicate balancing act, isn't it, between transparency and privacy? And it takes an immense amount of time and effort with traditional disjointed methods.
It really does.
So how does Archive 360 alleviate this crushing burden? It sounds like agencies are desperate for a lifeline here.
Archive 360 fundamentally transforms this entire process. It works by consolidating all those disparate data sources into a single, unified, and fully indexed repository.
Okay, so one place to search instead of 10 or 20.
Exactly. Think of it as bringing all your scattered information into one highly organized, easily accessible, and, crucially, lightning-fast library. Its advanced, scalable search capabilities, plus seamless integrations with leading e-discovery platforms like Extero, allow authorized personnel-like legal teams, auditors, compliance officers to quickly and accurately locate, review in native context, and export relevant information.
Reviewing in native context, that seems important for things like chat messages.
It's critical. Seeing the conversation flow with edits and replies is crucial for understanding. This dramatically reduces the time, cost, and risk associated with FOIA and e-discovery responses. We've heard that unifying records has truly transformed FOIA processing for agencies using it.
Streamlining what was once lengthy and painful into something much more efficient and defensible.
That's the idea. Efficient and defensible.
That makes incredible sense. Now let's pivot a bit. We need to talk about deconstructing the mandates, the tightly woven web of compliance imperatives, because it's not just about what agencies want to do for efficiency. Often it's about what they absolutely must do.
Right. These aren't optional suggestions.
And maybe top of that list right now is NARA M2307, the ticking clock for electronic records modernization.
This is probably one of the most pressing and widely discussed mandates impacting federal agencies today. Joint Memorandum M2307, issued by the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, and NARA.
Okay.
It's an update to an earlier directive, M1921.
Yeah.
And it mandates a fully electronic records environment across the entire government.
Fully electronic, meaning no more paper.
Essentially, yes. Yeah. It sets a critical deadline.
Mm.
After June 30, 2024, NARA will no longer accept permanent or temporary analog, basically, paper records. All records submitted must be electronic and include appropriate standards-compliant metadata.
That sounds monumental. I mean, we all picture government offices with, like, mountains of paper files. This requires a complete overhaul, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It requires agencies to conduct a complete inventory of all their records, then digitize potentially vast paper archives a huge undertaking in itself.
Yeah. Scanning alone must be massive.
Massive. And then implement systems capable of capturing, classifying, and managing all these diverse electronic record types according to approved retention and disposition schedules.
Okay, so it's not just scanning, it's managing it all afterward.
Right. And what makes this even more challenging for agencies is that it's largely an unfunded mandate.
Unfunded. So they have to do all this work but aren't given extra money for it.
Pretty much. Which means agencies are compelled to find efficient, cost-effective solutions on their own to achieve compliance. NARA's own 2023 report highlighted this concern. It indicated that only 63% of agencies actually anticipated meeting this June 2024 deadline.
Only 63%? That implies a lot weren't ready.
Exactly. It creates a clear and urgent need for purpose-built solutions that can tackle this without, you know, breaking the bank.
So how exactly does Archive 360 help agencies meet this ticking clock? Does it come with, like, a giant scanner?
Well, not a physical giant scanner in every box, perhaps.
Yeah.
But it is explicitly designed to address these core M2307 requirements from beginning to end.
Wow.
It provides an end-to-end capability for digitizing paper, for securely capturing electronic content and its associated metadata, for applying complex retention policies, and then consolidating all these records into that single, secure, searchable repository.
So it covers the whole life cycle needed for compliance.
That's the aim. It directly enables agencies to comply with the mandate. We've seen this in action. A Department of Homeland Security, a DHS component, successfully used Archive 360 to meet not only the older M1921 requirements, but also these updated M2307 requirements, actually ahead of schedule.
Okay, so it provides a proven pathway.
A vital pathway for others, yes.
Yeah.
It offers a structured way to move from that paper chaos to digital order.
Got it. Next mandate up is Executive Order 12028, the non-negotiable shift to zero trust. This sounds like a fundamental change in the cybersecurity approach, moving beyond just like traditional firewalls.
It is a truly fundamental paradigm shift in how we think about cybersecurity. Executive Order 12028, titled Improving the Nation's Cybersecurity, mandates a move away from traditional perimeter-based security.
The old castle and moat idea.
Exactly, the castle and moat model, where you basically trust everything inside the walls. Instead, it moves to a zero trust architecture, or ZTA.
Zero trust. What's the core principle there?
It's deceptively simple. Assume the network is always compromised. Always.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Trust nothing.
Pretty much. It means no user or device is trusted by default. Access to data and resources must be continuously verified through rigorous authentication and authorization for every single request, no matter where it originates inside or outside the traditional network. So it's not just about keeping bad actors out anymore. It's about trusting no one, not even, I don't know, your own agency's coffee machine, until it proves itself trustworthy for that specific request.
That's a good way to put it. It's a serious paradigm shift, and it fundamentally shifts cybersecurity focus to protecting the data itself rather than just the network perimeter.
Protecting the data, how does that work in practice?
Well, for a successful ZTA implementation, agencies need granular visibility and control over their data assets. This means applying security policies like dynamic tagging, labeling, encryption at the individual data object level. Not just the folder, but the file itself.
That data-centric approach seems crucial, then, for modern federal IT security.
It's non-negotiable. Without it, you're trying to secure a perimeter that, frankly, might not even really exist anymore in today's cloud-first remote work world.
But how does Archive 360's architecture align with such a stringent requirement? It sounds like it demands a totally different approach to data storage than, say, older systems.
It absolutely does. And Archive 360 is uniquely architected precisely to meet and in some ways even exceed zero trust requirements. A key reason is its deployment model.
Which is?
Unlike most cloud solutions, which are multi-tenant, Archive 360 deploys within the agency's own cloud tenant.
Their own private space in the cloud.
Exactly. This gives the agency complete control over its security environment. It means access controls can be enforced right down to the individual object or even a specific data field within a file.
Granular control.
Very granular. And crucially, its support for customer-managed encryption keys ensures that the agency, not the vendor, holds the ultimate authority over data access.
The agency holds the keys.
Yes. And that is a foundational tenet of zero trust. This level of control is simply not possible with traditional multi-tenant SaaS models, where the vendor typically controls or at least has access to the keys.
So it's not just locked away. The agency itself holds the only key that can unlock its data. That feels like a huge shift in control, doesn't it? Especially for sensitive government information.
It is a truly empowering shift for the agency. It gives them ultimate control.
Okay, and this all ties into the broader vision of Cloud Smart Strategy and FedRAMP, the foundation for secure modernization. These sound like the overarching frameworks guiding IT transformation across the entire public sector.
They absolutely are. The federal government's Cloud Smart Strategy provides the overarching policy framework for IT modernization. It actively encourages secure cloud infrastructure migration to achieve some crucial goals.
Like,
Things like significant cost savings, enhanced security postures, and accelerated delivery of government services to citizens.
makes sense. And FedRAMP is key to doing this securely.
Central to it. FedRAMP, the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, is the standardized mandatory approach for security assessment, authorization, and continuous monitoring for all federal cloud products and services.
So FedRAMP authorization is essential for any cloud service working with the federal government, right?
Sure.
It's not an option. It's a must-have baseline.
Precisely. Achieving a FedRAMP authority to operate, or ATO, is a rigorous prerequisite. It involves extensive audits and validation of security controls against a very high bar. It's non-negotiable for doing business with the federal government in the cloud. It's essentially their stamp of approval for cloud security.
So Archive360's status here is a significant validator then. It basically tells agencies, look, we've done the homework, we meet the standard.
It is a critical validation of its security posture. Archive360's status as a FedRAMP in-process solution and working towards full authorization is a testament to its commitment to federal security standards. Its cloud-native architecture, built on the Microsoft Azure Platform as a Service, or PaaS model, directly aligns with the Cloud Smart strategy.
Okay.
This provides agencies with a proven, secure, and scalable platform to migrate massive data volumes to the cloud, decommission that legacy on-premises infrastructure, and manage information cost-effectively and compliantly.
It's fascinating here is how these mandates seem all interconnected. It's not just like a checklist of individual requirements. It feels like a tightly woven web.
You've hit on a crucial point. These three mandates, M2307 for electronic records, Executive Order 14028 for Zero Trust, and the overarching Cloud Smart FedRAMP requirements, they aren't independent initiatives at all.
How so?
Well, they form a tightly interwoven framework. An agency simply cannot achieve large-scale electronic records management, as required by M2307, without leveraging the scalability and security of a FedRAMP-authorized cloud platform.
Right. You need the cloud for that scale.
And that cloud platform security architecture, in turn, must adhere to Zero Trust principles, as per EO 13028.
Okay, I see the links now.
So this creates what some call a powerful burning platform for agencies.
A burning platform. What exactly does that mean in this context? Like, their current setup is unsustainable.
Exactly. It's a common term in business strategy, but here it means agencies aren't just wanting to modernize anymore, they have to. It's no longer a nice-to-have option. It's become an urgent compliance necessity driven by these intersecting mandates.
So it fundamentally shifts procurement from a desirable project to an urgent, non-negotiable need.
Precisely. It shifts it from a modernization desire to an urgent compliance necessity. And solutions like Archive360, which are built to meet this integrated set of requirements, are perfectly positioned to help agencies navigate this incredibly complex and urgent landscape. They offer essentially a way off that burning platform onto solid ground.
That makes so much sense. Okay, now let's really dig into what makes Archive360 different. Let's talk about the architectural advantage, why your cloud, your tenant, is a game changer for public sector data governance. This sounds like a core differentiator.
It is the fundamental differentiator for Archive360 in the public sector market. And frankly, it's a concept worth understanding deeply because it underpins so many of the benefits.
Okay, lay it out for us. What's the usual way?
Well, most cloud archiving solutions operate on a multi-tenant software as a service, or SaaS model. In this setup, data from hundreds or even thousands of different customers co-resides on infrastructure owned and managed by the vendor.
So everyone's data is essentially in the same big building, maybe in different locked rooms.
That's a pretty good analogy. While there might be logical separation, the locked rooms customers are inherently sharing underlying network resources, compute power, storage, and security services provided by the vendor.
Okay, so what's Archive360's approach? The your cloud, your tenant model.
Archive360 uses a unique platform as a service, or PaaS, model. This is definitely like having your own custom-built secure house for your data, rather than renting an apartment in that big building.
How does that work practically?
The platform is deployed as a dedicated, single-tenant instance directly within the customer agency's own Microsoft Azure Cloud subscription.
Ah, their Azure subscription, not Archive360's.
Exactly. Whether that's in the commercial Azure environment or the more isolated Azure Government Cloud, GovCloud. This architectural choice means each agency gets a truly private, secure enclave, completely separated from everyone else.
And what are the critical implications of not sharing any resources at all? What does that mean for, say, an agency's security posture?
Critically, with Archive 360, there are absolutely no shared network resources between tenants. There are no shared or common security certificates. And, very importantly, no shared encryption keys with any other entity.
No shared keys? That seems huge.
It is. The platform operates entirely within the agency's established security and compliance boundary.
Mm-hmm.
They set the rules. This is not a minor technical detail. It's the central pillar of Archive 360's value proposition for government clients. It directly addresses their paramount concerns about security, control, and data sovereignty.
Sovereignty meaning they know exactly where their data is and who controls it.
Precisely. It's about delivering true, undeniable control back to the agency.
That really drives home the idea of achieving true data sovereignty and unprecedented control. It sounds like they're not just renting space. They really own the space their data lives in.
That's exactly right. Because the data resides within the agency's own Azure tenant, the agency has complete control over the geographic location of its data stores.
Which matters for legal or policy reasons, right? Data residency.
Absolutely. It definitively meets any legal or policy requirements for data to reside within specific national or regional boundaries, a crucial consideration for many government bodies, especially those dealing with national security or sensitive citizen data.
And what about administrative control?
This model allows the agency to retain full administrative control over the application and its underlying infrastructure. Agencies aren't forced to accept a vendor's standardized, one-size-fits-all security model.
They can use their own stricter policies.
Exactly. They can apply their own specific, often more stringent, security protocols and policies without compromise. Their existing security teams can use their established tools and procedures, the ones they already know and trust, to monitor, audit, and protect the Archive 360 environment as just a natural extension of their own cloud footprint.
And does this control extend to the bottom line? Does it affect costs and performance? That seems like a practical benefit that CIOs would love.
Absolutely. The platform's foundation on Azure Pay services enables a consumption-based pricing model.
Pay for what you use.
Pretty much. Agencies can dynamically scale up compute resources when they need them, maybe for a large e-discovery search or a massive data migration project, and then scale back down afterward to minimize costs.
So it's elastic.
Highly elastic.
Yeah.
This offers financial and operational flexibility that's simply impossible with the fixed subscription fees and shared resource pools you often find in a typical multi-tenant SaaS offering. This direct control translates into potentially significant cost optimization and efficiency gains, especially when responding to fluctuating demands like those big FOIA requests.
Now, let's double-click on perhaps the most critical security benefit we hinted at earlier. Customer-managed encryption, the cornerstone of Zero Trust and FedRAMP alignment. This sounds absolutely essential for sensitive government data, where trust, or rather lack of inherent trust, is paramount.
It is, without a doubt, the most critical security benefit of this architecture. The agency's ability to maintain exclusive control over its own encryption keys is the cornerstone of a genuine zero-trust security posture.
So how does Archive 360 handle encryption?
It provides an unmatched, multi-layered approach to encryption that is entirely customer-controlled. This includes tenant-level keys for encrypting data, both at rest on the storage and in transit across networks.
Okay, standard stuff there.
Yes, but then it goes further. It includes file-level keys to restrict access for specific users or groups, and even granular content-level encryption keys.
Content-level, you mean encrypting specific words inside a document?
Exactly. Protecting specific words, phrases, or data fields like social security numbers or classified terms within a file. This allows for highly specific policy-based security that directly aligns with the principle of least privilege.
Meaning users only access exactly what they need, and sensitive bits stay hidden even if they access the document.
Precisely. Very granular control.
And for the most sensitive data, I think the outline mentioned an even higher level of protection. Something about a security gateway. Sounds almost like a secret vault within the vault.
That's the optional Archive 360 security gateway. For the absolute most sensitive data, it allows an agency to manage its encryption keys in a completely separate environment.
Separate from Azure where the data is.
Yes, like on-premises in their own data center or even in a different cloud provider's environment, physically segregated from the encrypted data sitting in Azure.
Okay, so keys in one place, encrypted data in another. What's the benefit?
This is sometimes called double key encryption. It means that even in the extremely unlikely event of a complete compromise of the cloud environment where the data resides.
Like a major breach of Azure itself.
Highly unlikely, but theoretically possible. Even then, the data would remain unintelligible ciphertext. Why? Because the adversary would lack the decryption keys, which are held entirely by the agency in that separate secure location.
Wow. So even if someone got the encrypted data, it would be useless without those separate keys the agency holds.
Exactly. This provides ultimate, undeniable control. It directly addresses the deepest CSO concerns about data security in the cloud and potential lawful access requests. It's arguably the highest level of data security and sovereignty possible.
Okay, that's a powerful security story. Now, moving beyond just security and control, this architecture also seems to have significant long-term benefits in eliminating vendor lock-in and enabling future innovation, AML. That feels like a huge strategic advantage in today's rapidly evolving tech landscape.
It really is. A core design principle of Archive 360 is storing all ingested data in its original native format. It doesn't convert files into some proprietary format that only Archive 360 can read.
Ah, so no vendor lock-in based on file format.
Exactly. This means agencies are never locked in. Because the data resides in its native format and within the agency's own cloud tenant, the agency retains perpetual ability to access, move, or analyze that data with other tools now or in the future, without facing costly and complex extraction processes from proprietary archives.
So the data remains theirs, fully usable.
Fully usable. And this open architecture transforms the archive from just being a passive storage repository, you know, a place data goes to die, almost into an active strategic data asset. It's built to be AI ready.
AI ready. That's fascinating. So the archive isn't just a vault. It's a living, breathing data source, a potential wellspring for future technologies like artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Precisely. Because the data is accessible in their tenant, and they have open APIs, agencies can easily connect their archived information to powerful analytics and AML platforms. Think Microsoft Power BI, Snowflake, ChatGPT, other OpenAI services, whatever comes next.
Well, it unlocks the potential to derive entirely new insights, identify trends, maybe predict outcomes, and improve decision-making by analyzing vast historical data sets that were previously inaccessible, trapped in those legacy systems or proprietary archives we talked about.
So you could ask new questions of your entire history of records. You could. This approach is not only financially prudent, especially if agencies can leverage their existing Microsoft Enterprise agreements for Azure services, but it's strategically forward-thinking. It ensures an agency's most valuable historical data can actually fuel the next generation of public services and mission outcomes. Imagine what new insights an agency could uncover if all their historical records were suddenly available for AI analysis.
That's a powerful vision. Okay, now that we've explored the challenges, the mandates, and these unique architectural advantages, let's see, Archive 360 in action, accelerating mission through key capabilities and use cases, starting with a deeply impactful area, legacy application decommissioning. You mentioned that Department of Justice agency saving $135 million. How does that practically happen? How do they achieve those savings?
This use case directly addresses that massive financial drain we discussed right at the start. The problem, remember, is that agencies consume significant IT budgets just maintaining legacy applications and databases.
Like those old email archives, Veritas Enterprise Vault or EMC Source One.
Exactly those. Or maybe aging custom applications, old SharePoint versions. They're kept operational solely because they hold historical data that might be needed for legal or compliance reasons.
But running them costs a fortune.
A fortune. High costs from licensing, support contracts, dedicated infrastructure, specialized personnel. And they pose substantial security risks because they're often unpatched and highly vulnerable to modern threats. They're a heavy anchor holding back modernization.
So Archive 360 acts as the escape route, the off-ramp for these costly, risky systems. How does it make that process smooth and, importantly, secure?
Precisely. Archive 360's Fast Collect Migration Platform provides that essential off-ramp. It offers a comprehensive library of patented high-speed connectors designed specifically to extract data from a vast array of legacy systems, both on-premises and cloud-based.
High speed is probably important when you're talking potentially terabytes or petabytes of data.
Absolutely. Speed and accuracy are key. And the migration process itself is designed to be legally defensible. It preserves the full chain of custody and all the critical metadata.
Meaning you can prove where the data came from and that it hasn't been tampered with during the move.
Exactly, which is crucial for legal and compliance. Once the data is securely migrated into Archive 2 Azure Archive 360's main platform in the agency's tenant, the legacy application can be fully decommissioned. turned off, for good.
And that's where the savings come from.
Immediately, substantial cost savings by eliminating those licensing fees, support contracts, infrastructure costs. It also significantly reduces the agency's security attack surface by removing those vulnerable systems. And it simplifies the overall IT environment. That Department of Justice agency, for example, could then reallocate that projected $135 million from just maintaining old systems to actually investing in new mission-critical technologies.
That's a massive impact, a clear ROI. Next, let's look at compliant records management for the M2307 era. This is a direct response to those ticking clock mandates we talked about earlier. How does Archive 360 help turn that potentially unfunded mandate into a manageable task?
Well, federal records managers, as we discussed, face intense pressure to comply with NARA M2307. They have to establish and enforce a comprehensive records management program for this ever-expanding universe of electronic records.
Everything from stamped paper to Teams chats.
Everything. And each record must be classified and managed according to approved NARA retention and disposition schedules. It's a huge task.
So how does Archive to Azure help?
Archive to Azure functions as the central unified platform for modern electronic records management. It ingests and manages virtually any data type from any source, email, chat, social media, scanned documents, you name it. Within the platform, records managers can define and automatically enforce granular, policy-based retention and disposition schedules.
Automating the application of those complex, narrow schedules.
Yes, automating it based on policies linked to the data type, classification, or other metadata. The system also supports immutable storage, often called WORM capabilities, write once, read many, which is a requirement for certain types of records to prevent alteration or deletion.
Ensuring authenticity.
Right. And it maintains a complete defensible audit trail for every record, from the moment it's ingested to its policy-driven destruction at the end of its lifecycle. This provides robust end-to-end lifecycle management capabilities, ensuring agencies can confidently meet their M2307 compliance obligations without relying on cumbersome manual processes or multiple disconnected systems.
And what about those constant demands from the public and legal teams? How does Archive 360 help with streamlining e-discovery and FOIA response, which, as you said, can often be a huge bottleneck for agencies?
Agency legal and compliance departments are frequently overwhelmed by the sheer volume and complexity of e-discovery and FOIA requests. We talked about how the traditional process manually identifying, collecting, reviewing data from multiple disconnected systems is notoriously slow, labor-intensive, and exorbitantly expensive.
Leading to missed deadlines and increased legal risk.
Exactly. The Archive 360 platform fundamentally streamlines this entire process. How? By creating that single, centralized, and fully indexed repository for all potentially responsive data.
One place to look?
One place. Archive to Azure incorporates powerful, scalable enterprise search capabilities. This allows authorized users like legal teams, auditors, FOIA officers secure self-service access to search the data they need.
Self-service, so they don't have to rely on IT for every single search.
Correct. Within their permissions, they can conduct complex searches across potentially billions of files and petabytes of data, quickly cull the results, place legal holds on relevant documents, and manage the entire process with integrated case management tools right within the platform.
And you mentioned reviewing in native context earlier. Why is that so important here?
It's crucial for legal defensibility, especially for modern communication types. Think about reviewing a Microsoft Teams conversation, seeing it threaded with replies, edits, reactions. That full context is vital for understanding what actually happened. Archive 360 allows review in that native format.
Instead of just getting a flat text file of messages.
Exactly. This capability, combined with seamless integrations with dedicated e-discovery review tools like Xtero, dramatically accelerates the entire workflow, reducing both time and cost significantly. It transforms what was once a painful, lengthy process into a much more streamlined one, improving public transparency through faster FOIA responses and bolstering legal defensibility.
Finally, let's address the elephant in the room for many, many agencies. Governing Microsoft 365, Teams, SharePoint, Exchange data. It feels like this is a massive and often unmanaged new frontier for official records.
Absolutely is. Mm-hmm. The rapid and widespread adoption of Microsoft 365 across the federal government and state and local too has created this massive new ecosystem where official records are constantly being generated.
But are they being managed as records?
Often, not properly. Communications and content generated within Microsoft Teams, SharePoint Online, and Exchange Online are all subject to the same records management, legal hold, and FOIA requirements as traditional documents. Yet, frequently, this data goes unmanaged or is improperly retained using only the basic built-in M365 tools, which might not meet all an error requirements or e-discovery needs. This creates significant compliance gaps.
So how does Archive 360 fill that gap?
Archive 360 provides specific, purpose-built archiving solutions designed for the Microsoft 365 environment. This includes Archive to Azure for Microsoft Teams.
What does that capture?
It captures private channel messages, direct messages, one-to-one chats, group chats, file shares within chats, edits, deletions, capturing it all as separate reviewable messages, maintaining that full context for legal review.
Okay, comprehensive for Teams. What about SharePoint?
There's also Archive to Azure for SharePoint. Content there can be archived based on granular policies. And importantly, retention and legal holds applied in Archive 360 can be automatically inherited by the SharePoint content.
And email.
And of course, Archive to Azure for email journaling, capturing Exchange online communications. These tools compliantly capture not just the content, but also the critical metadata needed for records management and legal purposes.
So it ensures that the vast amount of mission-critical information generated within the M365 ecosystem is properly preserved, governed, and fully searchable within that centralized Archive to Azure platform.
Exactly. It effectively closes a significant compliance gap that many agencies are struggling with today, bringing M365 data under the same governance umbrella as everything else.
This has been incredibly insightful, really showcasing why a solution like Archive 360 is so vital in this environment. Now let's shift gears slightly and talk about strategy. Who needs to hear this? Prioritizing public sector targets for maximum impact. If you're on the Archive 360 team or maybe an integrator partner trying to help agencies the most, where should the focus be?
That's a key question. To maximize impact and truly help agencies navigate these complex challenges, the approach needs to be highly targeted. We'd recommend prioritizing two lead products based on their tangible value and their ability to solve immediate pressing pain points.
Okay, let's start with lead product one, Fast Collect. You call it the tip of the spear. Why start there?
Fast Collect directly addresses that immediate financial drain and the pressing security risks we discussed, the ones associated with those legacy IT systems. It offers a clear, compelling, and quantifiable return on investment by enabling the decommissioning of these systems.
So the message is about immediate relief.
Exactly. The initial sales message should be direct and laser-focused on cost savings and risk reduction. Something like, we can help you securely migrate the data from your aging, expensive systems like Veritas Enterprise Vault or EMC Source One. This allows you to turn them off and reallocate millions from your operations and maintenance budget to critical modernization initiatives.
That message resonates strongly with CIOs and budget holders, I imagine. Solves a very real, very painful problem.
It does. And it creates an entry point. It opens the door for a broader conversation about overall data governance.
Okay, so after that initial entry point with Fast Collect, you pivot to lead product two, Archive to Azure. This sounds like the broader, more strategic play once they see the immediate value of getting off legacy systems.
Exactly. Following that initial engagement around legacy data migration, the conversation naturally pivots to the strategic platform sale. Mm. Archive to Azure should be positioned as the central unified governance platform for the agency's entire data estate.
Entire estate, meaning?
Meaning not just the newly migrated legacy data, but also active Microsoft 365 content, file shares, structured data from databases, scanned documents, future sources they might acquire, everything.
So the message shifts to future-proofing.
Yes, it becomes one of future-proofing and comprehensive governance. Something like, now that we've helped you solve your immediate legacy problem by migrating that data, let's establish a modern, zero-trust-aligned foundation to manage all of your information, meet your M2307 obligations consistently, and prepare your data for the coming age of AI and analytics. This positions Archive 360 as a long-term strategic partner for information governance, not just a one-off migration tool.
Okay, so with the products prioritized, start with Fast Collect for the immediate pain, then broaden to Archive to Azure for the strategic platform. Let's talk about highest priority agencies and departments, targeting by mandate-driven need. Where are the agencies that are feeling the most pain and therefore might be most receptive to these solutions?
Based on the mandates and challenges, we can identify several tiers of agencies where the need is likely most acute. Tier 1, agencies with publicly identified critical legacy systems.
These are the ones called out in reports.
Yes. Federal agencies explicitly named in, say, GAO, reports as having critical legacy systems with incomplete or missing modernization plans. Think about the Department of Transportation. the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, Health and Human Services, HHS, maybe the Department of the Treasury. These agencies are under intense scrutiny from Congress and the public.
So they have a powerful internal driver for action. They need to show progress.
Exactly. They are almost mandated by that external pressure to seek solutions.
Okay, tier one makes sense. What about tier two? Large civilian and defense agencies with massive unstructured data. These are the ones dealing with that sheer volume, the digital explosion we discussed earlier.
Correct. We're talking about data-intensive agencies whose missions generate absolutely massive volumes of unstructured data, emails, chats, documents, images, videos, all subject to intense legal and regulatory oversight. Good examples include the Department of Justice, DOJ, and its components like the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, and major Department of Defense, DOD organizations.
Why are they such high priority?
Because they face enormous e-discovery burdens, investigative requirements, and complex records management challenges. The sheer scale of their data makes a scalable, unified governance platform like Archive to Azure incredibly compelling. Their pain is acute and constant.
Then there are agencies just up against hard deadlines, which must create an immediate, undeniable need.
Yes, that's our tier three, agencies under mandate deadlines. Any agency that's racing to comply with near-term mandates, especially that electronic records deadline of June 30, 2024, under M2307, is a prime target.
Because Archive 360 directly addresses those requirements.
It does. It provides a turnkey solution for digital records management, from helping manage scanned paper records to handling email under Natter's capstone policy. The urgency here is a strong motivator, potentially bypassing slower, typical procurement cycles because they just have to get it done.
Makes sense. What about agencies that are simply looking to clean house, maybe reduce their operational footprint as part of broader efficiency initiatives?
That's tier four, agencies seeking to retire legacy systems. Independent of specific mandates, many federal and state IT leaders are actively looking to decommission outdated systems, old content management platforms, those email archives, maybe even some mainframe applications as part of their general modernization efforts.
So you target their specific programs?
Exactly. Target programs explicitly focused on application rationalization or legacy IT reduction initiatives. Especially focus on agencies known to have legacy archive platforms like Veritas Enterprise Vault or EMC Source One. They have explicit goals to cut costs and complexity, making the fast collect message very relevant.
Beyond civilian agencies, the security and intelligence communities must have distinct needs, especially given that zero trust mandate we talked about.
They absolutely do, and that's tier five, defense, intelligence, and security agencies. Components of the DOD, the intelligence community, IC, and the Homeland Security sector are critical targets. For these agencies, you'd highlight Archive 360's unique zero-trust architecture.
The Your Cloud, Your Tenant Model, and Customer-Managed Keys.
Precisely. And its classified-ready encryption capabilities, along with its proven deployments in numerous U.S. security and intelligence components already. Specific use cases here could include multi-level security archives or repositories for controlled unclassified information. CUI, leveraging those fine-grained access controls. Security and absolute control are paramount for these groups.
And it's definitely not just federal, right? State and local governments also face incredibly similar issues with the data management, public records laws, and compliance.
Absolutely. That's tier six, state and local government agencies. They face analogous challenges. They have public records laws, basically their state-level FOIA equivalents. They deal with aging systems, constrained budgets, and that ever-growing need to manage modern communication data from Teams, email, etc.
So the same solutions apply.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Archive 360's FOIA search capabilities and records management features apply directly here. And it has already been adopted by individual U.S. states and some education sector agencies as well. The problems are universal, really, even if the scale sometimes differs.
Finally, we can't forget the ecosystem around these agencies, the federal systems integrators, the FSIs. They're crucial for large-scale government projects. How do they fit into this prioritization?
They are absolutely critical. That's tier seven, federal systems integrators, FSIs, and partners. Companies like Booz Allen Hamilton, SAIC, Leidos, Accenture Federal Services, Periton. These are key influencers in federal IT decisions. They often act as trusted advisors to the agencies.
So Archive 360 needs to work with them.
Yes, engage them as a force multiplier for sales. What's important is that the Archive 360 platform is already available on major government acquisition contracts like GSA schedules, NASA SEAP, Army ICE SW2, often via distribution partners like Carahsoft. This makes it easy for integrators to procure and include it in their proposals.
Making it easy for them to recommend it.
Exactly. and highlighting successes helps. For instance, a chief engineer at Periton noted that using Archive 360 with Microsoft Azure Government allowed their client to achieve cloud e-discovery and archiving at a significantly lower cost and in less time, while meeting all the regulatory requirements and even enabling new innovations like analytics. Educating these partners ensures Archive 360 gets recommended as part of larger digital transformation projects.
Okay, so we know the priority products and the priority agencies and types of programs. Now let's drill down further and talk about the people who make it happen, key personas to target. Because ultimately, you're not just selling to an abstract agency, you're engaging with individuals who have very specific roles, pressures, and pain points.
That's right. Understanding the specific pain points and motivations of these key personas is absolutely crucial for successful engagement. Tailoring the message is key. First, let's talk about chief information officers, CIOs, and IT directors.
What are their biggest headaches usually?
Immense pressure to modernize IT, implement those cloud smart strategies we mentioned. But as we saw, their budget is largely consumed by maintaining costly, high-risk legacy systems. They struggle with data center sprawl, integrating new cloud services securely, and providing secure access for analytics initiatives.
So what's the value proposition of Archive 360 for them? How does it help their problems?
For CIOs, Archive 360 enables that rapid data migration to the cloud and, critically, the decommissioning of old systems. This directly fulfills mandates to optimize infrastructure. It offers clear cost savings and improved IT agility, helping CIOs do more with less under often tight federal budgets. It frees up resources for their strategic priorities.
Okay, makes sense for the CIO. Then there are the people directly responsible for all that data, the chief data officer, CDOs, and records managers. They seem to be right on the front lines of those NRI mandates we discussed.
Their pain points are immense. They're responsible for data governance and records compliance, specifically tasked with meeting OMB Area Accords directives like M1921 and M2307. They struggle with inventorying vast amounts of records across the agency, digitizing paper archives, capturing complex electronic formats from platforms like Teams or Slack, and then applying consistent retention schedules across all these disparate data sources. It's a compliance nightmare.
So Archive 360 offers them
a unified platform to manage the entire data lifecycle and enforce records policies uniformly, automatically. For CDOs, there's an added benefit. The archives can become a valuable data lake for analysis, supporting evidence-based policymaking. For records officers, the core value is the robust compliance features, maintaining proper NRI retention schedules, ensuring immutability where needed, enabling quick retrieval for audits or FOIA requests. It essentially gives them the tools to actually do the job they've been mandated to do, which often feels impossible with their current tools.
And of course, in today's world, security is paramount. We need to reach the chief information security officers, CISOs, and security teams. What are their biggest headaches keeping them up at night?
CISOs face relentless pressure, defending against constantly evolving cyber threats, managing an expanding attack surface due to cloud adoption and remote work. And they are mandated to implement zero trust architectures under Executive Order 14028.
But they're hampered.
Often, yes. Hampered by fragmented visibility across different systems, the inherent vulnerabilities of those legacy systems still hanging around, and sometimes a perceived loss of control when moving to multi-tenant cloud platforms where the vendor holds a lot of the keys.
So how does Archive 360 speak to their concerns?
Archive 360's unique security architecture, that private cloud tenancy in the agency's Azure environment, the customer-held encryption keys, the zero-trust access controls down to the field level, directly addresses the risks associated with multi-tenant SaaS. Its compliance with government security standards like FedRAMP readiness and FIPS 142 validated encryption builds confidence. It enables secure cloud adoption for archiving and data management without exposing the agency to unauthorized data access or regulatory violations due to vendor compromise. It gives control back to the CISO.
That control aspect seems key for CISOs. Okay, what about the legal and transparency side? The agency general counsels, FOIA officers, and inspector general IG offices, they must be overwhelmed by the sheer volume of requests for information.
They truly are. Their primary pain points usually include being completely overwhelmed by slow, incomplete, or incredibly costly data retrieval processes from outdated archives or scattered systems. This leads directly to those huge FOIA backlogs we hear about, and significant e-discovery compliance risks, including potential court sanctions and reputational damage if they can't produce requested information accurately and on time.
So what's the value proposition for them? How does Archive 360 make their lives easier?
For them, Archive 360 is transformative because it streamlines e-discovery and public records access. The ability to place legal holds instantly across all relevant data and to search across all agency data, potentially petabytes in minutes, not weeks or months. That means significantly faster litigation responses and FOIA productions.
Cutting down those backlogs.
Exactly. It offers a centralized archive that can be queried efficiently for a requester's keywords, fundamentally transforming what was once painful, manual pulling from individual email inboxes or siloed systems into an efficient, repeatable, and defensible process. It's about reducing risk and increasing efficiency for critical legal and oversight functions.
Then we have the people actually running specific projects, the program managers of modernization or data programs. These are the folks with budgets trying to get specific things done.
Right. These individuals are typically tasked with executing mission-specific modernization efforts. They might be running a records modernization program or a legacy system migration project or a cloud data analytics initiative. They often control the budgets for specific commercial off-the-shelf or CODSES solutions that address their particular operational needs.
So Archive 360 needs to solve their specific problem.
Precisely. Archive 360 can solve their particular challenges, whether that's migrating a specific troublesome system's data using Fast Collect, creating a secure, centralized repository for an analytics project using Archive to Azure, or ensuring compliance with a new data policy. For instance, a program manager leading a FOIA improvement initiative would be keenly interested in the FOIA search and review enhancements. Someone heading a cloud migration project would welcome a tool that can migrate data, say, 10 times faster than old methods, with full fidelity, ensuring their project stays on schedule and within budget.
Tailoring the message to the specific program goal. And finally, those crucial intermediaries again, the federal systems integrator solution architects and consultants. They're often the ones designing the solutions that agencies ultimately adopt, right?
Absolutely. These personas, while not agency employees themselves, are key influencers in large government projects. They are constantly seeking reliable, compliant, and innovative solutions to incorporate into their proposals for government contracts. They want things that work and meet all the requirements.
So what's the value proposition for them? Why should they recommend Archive 360?
For FSIs, Archive 360 is a proven solution in government environments. It's relatively easy to procure through existing contract vehicles. It's highly interoperable with platforms they already work with, especially Azure Government. By building mindshare with architects and consultants at these integrator firms, Archive 360 ensures its platform gets recommended as part of larger digital transformation projects.
So they become advocates.
Exactly. Leveraging testimonials, like that Periton chief engineer who found Archives 360 provided cloud e-discovery and archiving at significantly lower cost and time, is vital for convincing other integrators to standardize on Archive 360 for their clients' archiving and data governance needs. They are truly a force multiplier for getting the solution adopted across agencies.
It's clear that Archive 360 has a very strong story to tell, offering compelling solutions to very real, very pressing public sector problems. But, you know, it's a crowded market out there. How does it truly stand out? Let's discuss standing out in the crowd, Archive 360's distinct competitive advantage. First, how does it position itself against those legacy on-premises solutions like Veritas Enterprise Vault that many agencies might still have lingering around?
This is a direct competitive play, and honestly, one where Archive 360 has a very clear win. Legacy incumbents like Veritas Enterprise Vault, or maybe EMC Source One, are often the very source of the financial and operational pain points we've been discussing throughout this deep dive.
They are the problem Archive 360 solves in many cases.
Exactly. They are characterized by high maintenance costs, complex infrastructure requirements, a fundamental lack of cloud scalability, and often an inability to effectively manage modern data types like Teams or Slack. Archive 360's Fast Collect is presented specifically as the expert, low-risk, and high-speed off-ramp from these cumbersome systems.
Proven to be faster.
Yes. It has a proven ability to migrate petabytes of data from platforms like Enterprise Vault, potentially 10 to 20 times faster than traditional migration methods, all while maintaining that full, defensible chain of custody. The core message here is one of liberation. Liberation from expensive, insecure on-premises infrastructure. Enabling agencies to decommission those systems, freeing up budget and resources, and moving their valuable historical data to a modern, scalable, and compliant cloud platform, Archive to Azure. It's about getting rid of the old constraints to make way for new capabilities.
Okay, clear differentiation from legacy on-prem. Now, what about the cloud-native players? The multi-tenant SaaS archives like Mimecast, Smarsh, or Proofpoint, they seem like direct competitors in the cloud space, so what's the crucial difference there? Why choose Archive 360 over them?
This is a really critical battleground, and the differentiation is fundamental. While some of these vendors are indeed FedRAMP authorized and offer robust email security and archiving features, their fundamental multi-tenant SaaS model is a key vulnerability, or at least a point of concern, in the federal space, particularly under that zero trust mandate.
Why is multi-tenant a vulnerability here?
The core argument against them, from a zero trust perspective, is that multi-tenant SaaS is fundamentally incompatible with the spirit, and arguably the letter of a true zero trust security posture mandated for federal agencies. With these solutions, sensitive government data resides in the vendor's cloud environment, protected primarily by the vendor's controls, often with vendor-managed or at least vendor-accessible encryption keys.
Meaning the agency doesn't have ultimate control.
Exactly. This relinquishment of ultimate control directly contradicts zero trust principles, which demand that the agency itself maintains granular control over its data and, crucially, the keys that protect it. Archive 360's Your Cloud, Your Tenant model is positioned as the only architecture that provides that absolute, undeniable agency control over data location, security policies, and encryption keys, exactly as demanded by Executive Order 12028. It's the difference between leasing a standard apartment from a big company versus truly owning and customizing your own secure house.
That analogy really helps clarify the control difference. Finally, how does Archive 360 coexist with, or perhaps even compete with, the big platform providers like Microsoft, specifically with tools like Microsoft Purview? Purview is deeply integrated into the Microsoft 365 ecosystem that so many agencies are already using heavily. Is it an Archive 360 is better than Purview, or more of an Archive 360 works with Purview situation?
The strategy against Microsoft Purview is definitely one of enhance and extend, not typically rip and replace. Microsoft Purview is highly effective, no doubt, for managing compliance and governance for data already residing within the Microsoft 365 ecosystem Exchange Online, SharePoint, Teams. It's often the strong default choice for that specific data set.
But agencies have data elsewhere too, right?
Exactly. Federal agencies operate in highly heterogeneous IT environments. They have critical official records in numerous other locations, traditional on-premises file shares, those legacy email archives if you want to decommission, other SaaS applications like Slack or Zoom or Salesforce, structured databases, scanned document repositories, and more. Purview's capabilities are largely confined to the M365 ecosystem.
So Archive 360 fills the gaps.
Precisely. Archive 360 is positioned as the essential single pane of glass that provides unified governance, retention management, and discovery capabilities across the M365 ecosystem, plus all these other disparate data sources. The message is one of completeness and unification.
So it's like Microsoft Purview is a great tool for your Microsoft data.
Archive 360 is the platform that governs your Microsoft data and everything else, giving you a single unified view and control over all your agency's critical information wherever it resides. It completes the picture, offering comprehensive data governance across the entire enterprise footprint, not just one segment of it. And that comprehensive view is precisely what agencies need to meet their mandates effectively and unlock the full value of their data. So, you know, if we connect all these threads back to the bigger picture, it's really clear that Archive 360 equips public sector agencies with a truly modern, secure, and comprehensive data archiving and governance platform. It directly supports their mandates, M2307, Zero Trust, Cloud Smart, and ultimately accelerates their speed to mission. By adopting this kind of platform, agencies can confidently transition to fully electronic cloud-based records management. They can comply with complex federal data directives more easily. They enhance their cybersecurity postures significantly, especially around zero trust. And, importantly, they unlock the hidden value trapped in their legacy data, making it available for AI and advanced analytics. It's really about building a robust, future-proof foundation for government operations in the digital age.
So what does this all mean for you, our listener? Whether you're working within an agency, maybe you're an integrator supporting them, or perhaps you're just trying to understand this complex landscape. For a solution provider like Archive 360 or their partners, the highest priorities clearly need to be those products and use cases that align directly with these urgent government needs, legacy system decommissioning, M2307 compliance, zero trust alignment, M365 governance.
Mm-hmm. And focusing on the agencies or programs feeling the most acute pain from outdated archives and those looming compliance deadlines.
Right. And emphasizing those proven successes like that DHS component that modernized its FOIA and e-discovery processes using Archive 360,
right.
Or the Department of Justice agency that saved potentially over $100 million retiring legacy systems, those stories will resonate strongly because they show tangible, real-world impact. It's not just theoretical.
And this raises, I think, an important concluding thought. Ultimately, a platform like Archive 360 isn't just another IT tool. It's truly a mission accelerator. Because when government can constantly manage all its data securely, efficiently, compliantly, it's not just meeting a mandate on a checklist. It's fundamentally strengthening its ability to serve the public effectively, to protect national security, and to uphold transparency and accountability in the digital age. It enables government to be more effective, more resilient, and ultimately more trustworthy.
So maybe a final question for you to ponder. For your agency, or perhaps for the public services you rely on, what crucial mission objective could be unlocked? What new possibility could emerge if all that historical and current data was truly secure, governed, AI-ready, and instantly searchable without the immense weight of legacy systems and data silos holding things back? That's a powerful thought to consider. And that's all the time we have for this deep dive into Archive 360 and its role in the public sector. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you feel incredibly well-informed and maybe even a little more ready to tackle your next data challenge.